In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have a guest with me, Danny Stain, and he's going to talk to us about Jeremiah 1, the call of Jeremiah.
When I was born, I was given the name Appointed by the Lord. The revelation of what that meant began when the Lord himself came to me and began speaking of my future and destiny. He said, "You were in my mind long before your parents even knew each other. Before they ever went to bed on the evening of your conception, you were in my thoughts and dreams. Before you emerged from cells into a baby, I had my hand on you for good. Before your parents had a course set out for you and what you would become, I set a path that would become your life, an extension of the purposes of heaven on earth. You were very special and were brought into the world for such a time as this. You were going to be the voice to the nations, a prophet, one with authority to break through and speak my heart over the earth. I responded to this overwhelming word over my life. But great God, ruler of all, you said I would speak, but I'm not an experienced at speaking. I'm a rookie. I didn't study public speaking, and I'm certainly not the best choice you have. I'm just a kid when it comes to stuff like that." The Lord quickly fired his response right back at me. "Don't affirm your doubts and your perceptions. I have a plan for you. In your mind, you need to affirm what I'm telling you and not base your future on your past experience. When I'm speaking through you, you aren't a rookie anymore. You will boldly speak to anyone I tell you. You will tell them the truth regardless of the ramifications. You will speak to the great and the small, governments and neighbors, rich and poor, pompous and righteous. You will be in some pretty crazy situations and places that you probably should be afraid of, but you won't be afraid. Places that I will have opportunity to come and rescue you, and I will." He then reached out his powerful hand and placed it over my mouth. My words of disbelief and weakness were silenced. He said, "I'm placing my words in your mouth, words that will be far different than you've ever become comfortable with in your insecurity, words that won't reflect your weakness and doubt, but rather my heart and purposes for people's lives. Your authority just increased in huge measure. You have been appointed by me over nations. You will speak over nations, and things will crumble, dismantle, shatter, and be completely annihilated. But you will also speak, and things will be restored, healed, renewed, grow, and be established. You are not carrying your own authority. You're carrying mine." That's from Greatest Awakening paraphrase that we're in the process of doing right now. We call it MAP, and you can find it on Facebook.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful, the call of Jeremiah.
It is. You know, the call of Jeremiah to me was actually something the Lord used in my life as a teenager, and began speaking to me, and he said, "You're going to speak." And I would stammer. I would literally tremble before I'd have to speak in front of anybody. Even though through my whole life I've always loved Jesus and I would share with people, there was this stammering that would happen. And as a result, the Lord gives me this passage of scripture, and he said, "Danny," he says, "I'm going to call you into a place of an authority, and it's not about you, it's about me in you." And to me, there's something profound when God speaks to people, and he speaks to all of us who know Jesus. He gives us these calls and pulls us out of total insecurity. My life was filled with insecurity, filled with depression, filled with, I didn't want to live. As a teenager, I had moved here from Africa, and I used to talk like a South African, and that wasn't very healthy during junior high, because in junior high, you want to look like everybody else. You don't want to be different. And I did culturally, I did weird things because I had been raised pretty much in a British kind of a culture back then in the school systems. And so as a result, I would do odd things in school. And immediately, I went through this period of great insecurity where I didn't know how to handle life at all. I used to get beat up a lot. It was just a very horrific period of time in my life. But through the years, the Lord has begun speaking things to me, even to the point where the whole message of dealing with insecurity has become very, very important to me, because I believe that if we deal with insecurity, we can miss the very blessing, the very favor, the very purposes of God for our life.
Insecurities should be a diving board, jumping into the security of God. When I am weak, I'm most strong. That's what the scripture says. And I know people that are insecure. And you know what? I've been insecure too when I was a child. Same kind of a experience. But God called me before I was born. And he called me to proclaim his gospel. That I am completely aware of, and I know it is for certain. So God uses the weak of the world to confound the wise, because that's the way God is. You can always know who God chooses. He chooses those who cannot do what he tells them to do unless he does it. That's the way God is. That's the way God is. And you know, you're sitting back and thinking, well, you don't know me. Well, you know what? You don't know me either. I know you know me better because I'm on the radio every day and I pour out my guts. You know me. But I'm telling you, insecurity is no excuse not to proclaim the word of God.
Yeah, you know, a number of years ago, we had done a conference and the Lord said, I want you to do another one. And I want you to do it on, the subject title was going to be visitation. And I heard him very clearly to say to do this. And so, obviously, if you're going to have a conference on visitation, you want some people who have experienced some things with visitation. And I remember inviting one of my heroes in the faith, just somebody I love dearly. And I remember that he wrote me back and he said, I think you're overreaching your boundaries, you're stepping too far, and that should be something dealt with leaders only and not generally in the body. And even if I had a release to come, I wouldn't come. And I took that letter and I was like, Lord, this is a man I honor, I respect, he hears from you, I don't understand, what do you want me to do? And he said, what did I ask you to do? I said, you asked me to do this conference on visitation. I said, and he said to me, he said, well, then what's the problem? And he said, what's the issue? And I said, well, I said, Lord, this guy has a lot of wisdom. He's written books. He's got DVDs. He's on TV, da, 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 da. I just went through the whole list. And he said, but what did I tell you to do? And he actually took me to a passage of scripture where there's an old prophet and a young prophet. And there's a young prophet who meets a king, and the Lord has a word for him, and he releases this word to the king, and it's not a good word. It basically says, God wants you to repent and turn. You're leading God's people astray. And the young prophet, it gives him this word, and immediately the king is angered and stretches out his hand. And as this is all happening, his hand withers, but the altar literally splits apart where he is, just breaks in half. And so the king immediately realizes God's in this thing, and his hand's all withered. And he says to the young prophet, he says, please, would you please pray for me that God will heal my hand? And so the young prophet prays for him, and the hand stretches out and the hand is healed. And the king, just excited about what has just happened, and you know, he's obviously something happened in his heart. He says to the young prophet, he says, hey, why don't you come to my house? He said, I would love to just have you and entertain you and just honor you for this whole experience. But the Lord had given that young prophet a word prior to ever giving that word that he gave to the king. And that word was, you go straight home. You don't go anywhere. You go straight home. And so he looked at the king and recognizing, well, this man doesn't really know God. He's an encounter here where God spoke something to him, but he doesn't know God. I can't really trust his opinion. And I know that God, first of all, spoke to me, don't go anywhere. And so he says, king, he says, I can't go. And so the king says, okay. So the young man begins going home. But there was also an older prophet who lived in the land at the same time. Now, the way I would relate that in today's world, it would be somebody who probably was very well known, had a lot of notoriety, had a lot of accuracy, probably had was on TV and radio and sold many books and sold many DVDs and just was a very, very, very popular prophetic person. He was older. He was wiser. He'd heard from God for the nation. There were powerful things that had happened through this older prophet. And so the older prophet hears about what happens with the king and the altar split in two and the signs and wonders that were occurring in regards to that event. And he goes, oh my goodness, I have found my intern. I found somebody who I can raise up and train and develop in the things of the Lord. It's this kid. I need this kid. We need to bring this kid into our team so we can help him grow, because he's really, he's the next thing coming. And so he goes after, saddles his donkey, and he goes after the young prophet, and he finds him, and he says, hey, he says, I want you to come to my house. I want to train you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to help you. And the young prophet says, oh, no, 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 the Lord spoke to me. I have to go straight home. And the old prophet said, well, the Lord also spoke to me and said you're supposed to come to my house. And in the scriptures, it's one of the saddest verses. It says, but the old prophet was lying, and because he hadn't heard from God at all. And because of the word that where it was coming from, and it was coming from somebody who had such great credibility and importance and value, he says to him, he says, you need to come with me. And the young prophet says, wow, this guy obviously hears from God much better than I do. He's much more important than me. I am going to listen to him. And he follows him all the way home. And that evening, as they're sitting at a table having a meal together, the word of the Lord, the real word of the Lord, comes on the older prophet. And as he begins speaking, there's grief that comes to the older prophet, and he looks at the young prophet, and he says, why? And this is the words that are actually used in the original, the way it says it. It says, why did you put a twig up God's nose? Why did you offend God? Why did you not hear him? Why did you not listen to what he was speaking to you? His words are far more valuable than any earthly words, any words spoken by anybody. He was speaking to you. What's the problem? What happened? And he said, because of that, when you leave here, you will die. And the young prophet, as he left, he was met by a lion and was killed. And the reality is that insecurity, his belief that he couldn't hear from God right, that he couldn't be a spokesman for God, that he needed somebody to ratify him. He needed somebody to come behind him and say, yeah, that's good, that's good, that's right, keep going. He needed that to such a degree that when somebody came and who carried some more authority, more history, all of a sudden he caved. And he wasn't listening to God anymore. He was listening to a man. And when he listened to the man, he lost his destiny. He lost his life. And insecurity is one of the gravest things that actually can happen to us. It's one of the biggest things the enemy will try and bring to us over and over. Because actually insecurity carries with it, we don't want to move out in faith. Because we just feel like it can't happen. It can't happen. This is who I am. There's a difference between humility and insecurity. Humility is where we say, be it done unto me according to your word. Whatever you say, Lord, I can't see that, but you can, and I'm here, and I'm listening to your words.
The best of men are men at best, even the prophets. The best of men are men at best. And we really need to hear God. We need to hear God. Today, as I was walking down my stairs to go to the church for the school of the Holy Spirit, I said, Lord, what are the stories you want me to tell? And he just told me. He showed me the stories. One about the kids that were lost in the Alps, and one of the girls in our class, when I was a teacher, we prayed for them, and they were safe. He told me that. He told me that. I was very, very happy to say that. You see, what God tells us to do needs to be done. What God tells us to do needs to be done. You know what our Blessed Mother said? Do whatever He tells you to do. That's what she said. That is the Mother of Jesus. Do whatever He tells you to do. And you are to do that the best of your ability. It is not your ability to make people well. Jesus says, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. It is God's ability to heal the sick. Our ability is to lay hands on people. That's what we need to do. And lay hands on people in faith. That's what we need to do. But we do not get people well. All the glory goes to God when they're healed. Every bit of the glory goes right back to God. But you have to remember, you know, you've heard me say this so many times about myself. The best of men are men at best. We place our trust in the living God. Oh, yes, if the vessel is being used, isn't that wonderful? But it's all about the Lord.
Yeah, it's one of the things where, you know, when we believe that we have something to do with it, we've missed the point. Because the point is Jesus. And there's really, we sometimes are wanting so badly to be used that we're wanting ourselves to become the focal point of what is happening. But it's all about Jesus. It's a place of hiddenness. A number of years ago, the Lord had me in some meetings, and was in Florida, and I was in some meetings down south, and we heard that this very prophetic brother was going to be up north, and so we kind of cut out of those meetings early because we wanted to hear him. It was pretty rare in those days to be able to hear him, and we went to these meetings, the first night he actually looked at me and he said, you're a pastor. He says, I need you to stay. Well, I didn't understand that at all, and I really needed to get back home, but regardless, I decided if this man is truly this prophet, I'm going to stay. It wasn't, the Lord hadn't told me to stay or go. I just heard from this man. And so I stayed. And the next night, as we're going into the meeting, there were people who were actually prophesying over me that the Spirit of God was going to come on me. There was going to be a great move of God. It was kind of odd because it was like, I'm going to hear somebody speak. I'm not going to do anything. But as I crossed the threshold of the church, literally crossing over into the inside, I heard the Lord say that prophet was sick. And I was like, Lord, why did I stay if he's sick? And I went down and talked to one of the leaders. I said, is he sick? They said, yes. Are you a pastor? And I said, yes. And we ended up going into the back room. And then later on, some of the leaders of the church went over to a little apartment right next door to the church where he was. And I knew I was supposed to go over there. And so I did. And there had been a word that was given to him. And the word was basically that the anointing that was on him would continue that night, even though he was taken out. And he looked at me and he said, that's right, get in there. And I went into the room, and a friend of mine was actually on stage, and he was ministering in Word of Knowledge and some healing. And immediately he looked at me and he said, Danny, would you come up here? Because I had moved a lot in Word of Knowledge and healing during that period of time. This is incidentally back in 1989. This is a number of years ago. And so as a result, he said, what are you hearing? And I said, I think the Lord wants to minister prophetically tonight. And he said, really? Have you ever done that? And I said, just a little bit. And he said, And the pastor came up and he says, what's going on? And so at that point, my friend said, Danny thinks the Lord wants to minister prophetically. Well, what happened was the man looked at me and he said, go for it. And I stepped into a place I'd never stepped into, but I realized it wasn't mine. I realized that the anointing I was stepping into was far beyond any ability I'd ever had, ever. I remember the first person I prophesied to was a woman back by the sound machine. And I said, you've had 6 miscarriages. You're carrying a son in the first trimester. You've already picked out his name as Michael. And there were just all these amazing things that were happening through the room for about 40 minutes. After that meeting, I ran to my car. And I buried myself because I realized this wasn't about Danny. This is about the Lord. That when we're looking for the accolades of men, when we're looking for the affirmations of men, we can be killed. We can be ruined. There are things that can be destroyed in our lives. We have to run towards humility. We have to run towards the things that keep us safe in Jesus.
The Lord does mighty things. You know, we're doing the school of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is moving, touching people, you know, giving people a voice, giving people authority. And we are there as part of it. It's all the Lord that's moving, you know, moving through us. He's moving through the people that are cooking also, you know. Everyone has a different charism. And I want to tell you that this Friday we're going to have a healing service, a great healing service, and everyone is invited to the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. To the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. It starts at 7 o'clock. This Friday at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a great healing service, and you are being invited. See what the Lord says to you. You know, maybe the Lord will say no, and if he says no, don't come. But if he says yes, You come. Tell us about healing, Danny.
Well, I will. I really want to invite you really to come on Friday night if the Lord releases you. Last year, there was some amazing breakthroughs. There was there was somebody who walked up to me. They had all kinds of braces, and by the end of the night, they had no braces, and they were healed, completely healed. The Lord restored them. But there's something powerful I know that the Lord's going to do on Friday night. There's also, and I'm going to touch on healing in just a second here, but I also want to let you know that through this week as well, we know that somewhere in here, we're going to be showing the Compelled by Love movie with Heidi Baker, and it's just going to be a phenomenal thing. It'll change your life. It's changed mine for sure. But the whole thing about healing, as I've recognized healing, and as we've seen healing, and we've seen a lot, we saw some major miracles occur in Brazil just a few months ago, four people coming out of wheelchairs, and 14, 18 years in a wheelchair, and ending the night, one of them dancing with his wife for the first time. Just a phenomenal release of healing, because healing is actually the children's bread. Healing is what Jesus has intended for us. You know, it's we don't know why sometimes it doesn't occur instantly, or doesn't happen every time the way we think it's going to happen. But the reality is that healing is the children's bread. That was the very thing that Jesus said to the woman who came to him and said, "Hey, have mercy on me, heal my son." He said, "Hey, this isn't for you, it's for others." And she said, "Listen, I'll take the crumbs off of the table. I'll take the children's crumbs." And it all had to do with healing, that there's something that God delights in releasing through his people to each other. And so we've seen so many healings, so many miracles that the Lord has done around the world. It's one of the most amazing things. And he heals in every facet. You know, God's not like a one-sided God. He doesn't just heal physical things. He heals emotional things. He heals spiritual things. He heals things that the deepest parts of our spirits. He touches us layer after layer after layer, and pulls us into places of great reality, that where there's freedom and there's peace and there's joy. And so as I've witnessed healing through the years, but also, and it is, you know, healing is really, it really is God who heals. It's not us, because we become witnesses to his healing. In fact, when some of the most major miracles are happening, we just stand back. I many times just stood back and wept over miracles that have happened, because God is just touching people in such a phenomenal way. And one particular story that actually happened in the greater Boston area was a young man who had severe curvature of the spine, and as I put my hand on his back, immediately I felt it move, and we took off the PVC brace that he had on, and sat it there on the edge of the stage, and I quickly grabbed some kids and I said, "Put your hand on this spine, feel this," and they were all just blown away, because God was actually just touching that spine. You could feel it moving under your hands, and we were just weeping, and the mother was there standing weeping. And through that whole process, at the end of it, he was completely healed, except for there was one shoulder that seemed lower than the other, and I commanded commanded the shoulder to rise. And immediately in front of our eyes, we all saw it rise. And he was blown away. His mom was blown away because he'd been prayed for so many times. But God healed him. And that brace stood there. And later on, the pastor came to me and he saw it. He'd been in the back of the church praying for somebody else. And he said, Danny, he says, is that Julian's brace? I said, yeah. And he just began weeping because God had touched and healed this young boy. He was about 12, 13 years old when that happened.
It's amazing. It's totally amazing what God knows how to do. So you can come to the School of the Holy Spirit. Tonight is Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thursday. And then Friday is the healing service. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't heal on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, God does what he wants to do. If I haven't learned anything else, I've learned that God does what he wants to do. And I have to be behind what he's doing. You see, that's just the way it is. And sometimes I'm disobedient. I tell you the truth. Sometimes I'm disobedient. And I reap the harvest of disobedience. Just the other night, the Lord said, I don't want you having that cookie. Now, what's about a cookie? I hadn't eaten until in the afternoon, and guess what I did? I ate the cookie. Now, would God say, don't eat the cookie? I believe he did. And I was disobedient. Forgive me, Lord. Okay, come to Holy Rosary. Come and join us, especially on Friday night when we are going to have a great healing service. And we will see, by the grace of God, the power of God moving in our midst, how we need the Lord's power. That Holy Spirit is wonderful. He's wonderful. He bears witness to Jesus, and so do we bear witness to Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.